There we go. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Truth About Sales. And can you believe it's week number 11? How did that happen so quickly? It feels like we're just getting warmed up, and we just got a couple of weeks left. So, as usual, thank you for being here and for supporting this important work with your time and attention. So we are a couple of weeks into the objection handling process. What we did last week, my intention was it cracked open, hopefully, some old ways in which you were viewing this structure. And when I say structure, I mean structure, right? One of my key places where I think people get stuck, people ask me all the time, hey, my client said this, what do I say? What that implies that there's some magic thing, some magic script that you can say. And I'm saying again that scripts don't work. Why? Why don't scripts work? Well, because think about every time that some telemarketer called and tried to pitch you. Right? You were in your kitchen, you answered the phone, and they said, hey, this is Fred from AT&T, and I'm calling about your long distance. Let me tell you about our distance. Right? And they say whatever they say, and it's clear that they're pitching you. It's clear that they have an ulterior motive. It's clear that they're trying to sell you something whether you need it or not. The script is to hopefully streamline people to buy, and that's not the way we're looking at sales. Now we're looking at sales as, how do we help people? How do we make a difference for them? Right? Not beat them over the head, but how do we contribute? Sales is a contribution. So last week, we did the objection handling process, and we did just some really basic ones. We did objection handling 101, which is that basic response pattern. Repeat and approve, answer their question, ask for a close. Right? Get in rapport, repeat and approve, get it cleaned up. Step two is shift, answer, solve, contribute, new perspective, something. As soon as we get agreement, then we move to a close. And we also did, what else did we do? I think we did, what did we do? Oh, what specifically causes you to believe? Right, clearing that up. When somebody says, hey, my house is worth more, well, great. What specifically causes you to believe that somebody will pay more for this one than that one? Right, that's a very powerful tool to get to the bottom of their belief structure. So I think the place where most of us drop the ball, myself included, is somebody says, hey, I want more, or I want you to cut your costs. I want you to lower the price for me. Most of us get stuck on that topical level about the price, about the commission, what about this feature. However, the real solution is a little deeper. Well, why do you feel that? What specifically causes you to believe that way? Right? There's very specific wording in there, and if you study, you know, therapy and hypnosis and blah, 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 we always want to get to the cause. I want to find the cause. You can solve your cancer, but what's more interesting is what caused the cancer in the first place. That'll determine whether or not it comes back. So that's what we're doing here. What specifically causes you to believe whatever it is that you believe? Right? So very powerful tools last week. We have a couple of more very powerful tools this week that hopefully, with what we've done the last couple of weeks and what we're doing this week, by the end of the call today, you should be able to handle any objection on any topic. So we'll see here in 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes if that's true for you. So today we're doing a little more objection structure and a couple of more techniques. And forgive me in advance if I'm slurring. My plane was delayed. I slept about an hour last night. I had crazy delays, and I just got in, slept an hour, and here I am. So any questions, any breakthroughs, any ahas that you've had in the last week that you'd like to share? Anything about the rapport game? Anything about anything? or should we just get started? No questions, no ahas, no breakthroughs. Going once, going twice. All right. let's do, lucky you, let's do our final and my favorite rapport game. So the last rapport game we're going to play starts now, right? Because next week's the last call. So what was our rapport game last week? Was mirror and match their breathing. Right, if your client's like, and then what about this? And they're breathing really high and shallow, and this is the way they're talking, right? That's, you can mirror and match their rate, but it's really all that magic is happening in the breath, right? So that was our thing from last week. So our rapport game for this week is, this is a fun one, and this is the grand slam home run. This is the one that makes all the other ones really work. So our rapport theme for this week is for you to choose, cognitively choose, to be interested in other people. Now, what the heck does that mean? Well, most of us work very diligently to be interesting to other people, right? Let me tell you how interesting I am. Yet all those conversations we had about how the ego works, you know, all people do this. All people want to be interesting. And so just like other versions of the rapport game, other elements of the rapport game, we are going to volunteer to let the customer be interesting. So how do you do that? You choose to be interested. Choose to be interested. Now, let that sink in that, you know, there are certain things that I'm interested in that you aren't. There are certain things that you are interested in that I'm not. So what subject is interesting? Right, I have a friend of mine that's a huge, huge history buff. Right, he always wants to talk about World War II and the Vietnam War, and you know, he wants to talk about American history. He's a huge history buff. And me, I'm more of a futurist. Right, I want to talk about, well, with this technology, what could we do? What is possible? Right, what if we had enough solar panels to run the whole world, no fossil fuel? What would we do with all that extra money and energy if we never had to pay a utility bill again? Like, what if we could get sustainable? Right, so I'm interested in what's possible, and he's very interested in, well, what happened? So here's the question. Is history, is it interesting or is it boring? And what about talking about the future? Is that interesting or is that boring? Neither. One's history and one's the future. And my friend has chosen, for whatever reason, I don't care, he's chosen to be interested in history. I, for whatever reason, have chosen to be interested in the future. And it's not interesting or boring, it's just what I have chosen to be interested in. And as you look back through your life, you will see the same thing in your experience. There are things in your life that you have chosen, for whatever reason, that you have chosen to be interested in, and things that you've chosen not to be interested in. Right? 13th century French literature. Right? Probably many of us are not interested, chosen to be interested in that. Is it interesting? Is it boring? Well, whatever. Right? Some have chosen to be interested, some haven't. So consider this with your clients, that it's up to you to choose who's interesting and who's not interesting. And an interesting thing happens. What happens when somebody finds you interesting? For example, think back through your lives. Think back to a time when somebody, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter who it was, when somebody thought you were really, really interesting. They were fascinated by you. You did what? And then you went where? And how did you, really, how did you do that? Wow, that's amazing. Like, come up with a, maybe it was your kids that found out that you did something cool in your youth. I don't know. But think about a time when somebody related to you as if you were utterly fascinating. Who has a story like that you'd like to share? I'd like an example. I'd like to know what happened in that exchange. Anybody have one of those they want to share? I know it's happened.
Can you repeat that, Joel? You cut out.
Yeah. So my question was, when has this happened to you? Think of a time when somebody thought you were super interesting. They thought you were fascinating. They wanted to know more. They wanted to ask questions. What about that? And they were just thought you were so interesting. So I'd like to hear what happened to you in that experience. Anybody have one of those that you'd like to share? That you'd be willing to share? Please. What was that like? What about you? And here's the interesting thing. Whatever it was they were interested in or fascinated by might not even have been very interesting to you. So
okay,
who has
Joel,
one of those stories? Yes.
This is Danette. I can give you a story.
Please, Danette.
All right. So actually, I am involved with someone right now that has decided that I'm a very interesting person. And, of course, that's been very flattering and very kind of in a way surprising to me because I didn't think I was that interesting of a person. So the bottom line is, I was encouraged by their encouraging words and it seemed like authentic feeling that I was an interesting person. So it just changed my dynamic. It changed my interaction.
And so since this person is authentically interested, like the way she said that, everybody, this person is authentically interested. They're fascinated. Really? They think you're so interesting. How did that change the way you related to that person?
When I found out that they were genuinely, interested in me, I actually became more interested in them because it was it's like reciprocal. Maybe it's being in rapport,
There's definitely some law of reciprocity at work here. So everybody else, do you hear what she said? Because they were so interested in me, I became more interested in them. Danette, one more question. When this person expressed their authentic interest in you, did that cause you to open up and share more, or did that cause you to clam up and protect yourself more?
No, actually, it allowed me the feeling that I could share more openly. Yeah.
All right,
answer to that, I think where you're going with this and how it was for me is I became more truthful in expressing my feelings and desires of what I wanted. I felt safe. I think that's the word I'm looking for. I felt safe.
Perfect. So as a salesperson, is there any better position in which to have your client than that? That's as good as it gets. Can you imagine what will happen to your business when every one of your listing appointments, you put the client in the position that Danette just described? Oh, God, I just felt totally safe, and I could open up and share my feelings and say what I wanted, and I wanted to cooperate, and I felt like our relationship became dynamic and reciprocal, and they were authentically interested in what I wanted. There is no better position for a sales conversation, for any conversation, than this. This is what it takes. Danette, thank you so much for sharing all that. Thank you. So this is the magic recipe. Remember, houses don't pay commissions. Real estate does not pay a commission. People pay the commission. The real estate, the product is just the product. So what? People pay the commission. You are in the people business. And so the more that you can connect with the people, be interested in the people, come from contribution to make a difference for the people, this is the goal. So simple. What do? Be interested. Find people fascinating. Ask them lots of questions. Be be authentically enthusiastic. All right. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Anything? You guys feel good about taking this on? Just that's it. Choose to be interested in everybody. Ask them lots of good questions. Make a difference for them. Be fast. You're moving where? To the beach? Wow, that's amazing. Good for you. God, I'd love to live at the beach. What's inspired you to live at the beach? Wow, that's so amazing. Right? I just want to like jump in and learn and evolve and get connected. And the more that you express some fascination with them, the more they trust and open up and get it. Cool. All right, before we jump into our next topic, questions, comments, ahas, anything, before we shift gears into something new. All right, then. So we have today these are kind of what I refer to as the big guns. These are the big guns. When you're doing any sort of objection handling, notice we've started with some really easy ones first. What were the easy ones? Well, we did rapport first. Which is always the foundation. Without rapport, none of these things work. So we started with rapport first. We did some repeat and approve. Right? What does that mean? I want you to cut your commission. Yes, I totally understand that the commission's a big deal for you. So let's talk about how we can do that for you. Right? Just that is a big deal. We talked about the response pattern. We talked about, very early in the course, we talked about the level shift. What's a level shift? Hey, I want more for my house. Hey, I totally get that you want more for your house. And isn't the real question to get as much as the market will bear? Well, yes. So what do? We level shifted from I want what I want to agreeing that it's up to the market. Right? These are tools to break that hard line of thought before we have to actually handle the objection. So if those subtle tools that we've practiced thus far haven't been working for you, then we have a couple of big guns for today. So the first big gun, I call it the response pattern. It's a reciprocity response pattern. It's also known as the military pattern. Why would we call it that? There's rumor that this pattern that you're about to learn was patterned after military recruiters. They studied a bunch of military recruiters and found that most of them had horrible conversion rates. Horrible. And that's a tough sale. Like, think about that. Right? You sign kids up for about what they'd make working at McDonald's, but you're going to not get nights and weekends off, you're going to get shot at, you're going to get PTSD, we're going to put you in harm's way. It's a tough sale. And most of them had really horrible conversion rates. A few of them had amazing conversion rates. And after those people were modeled, they came up with this reciprocity technique that we're doing right now. So this pattern follows by starting with agreement first. Get in alignment first. Get in agreement first. Right? That's always step one. And then, so it goes in this order. Step one is we're going to align with them. Find some agreement. Align with their position. Generate rapport. Repeat what they said. If possible, I like to respond to the first thing out of my mouth is yes. Yes, that's a great question. Thanks for bringing that. Oh, yes, the commission. Yes, let's talk about that. Right? If possible, I'd like to open with yes, just because it's helps set up some agreement. So step one is align with them. Step two, make a new suggestion. What would happen if? Have you considered this? What if we did this? What if? How about? What would happen? Some sort of suggestion. And then step three, justify that suggestion, because here's why. Now, here's the magic. The magic is in step four. And step four is reciprocity. What does reciprocity mean? It means that if I do something nice for you, you want to do something nice for me. You invite me over to your home for dinner, I'm going to say, great, can I bring a bottle of wine? This is the law of reciprocity. Do something nice for somebody, they want to return the favor. So here, we're going to offer by, we're going to say, if you'd be willing to take my suggestion, if you'd be willing to follow my advice, if you'd be willing to sign the contract, if you'd be willing to do what I want you to do, if you'd be willing to follow my advice, then I'd be willing to do this for you. And then offer them some sort of a concession. What's the concession? I don't know. Some cool extra bonus thing that you're going to do for them that they don't know about. My request is the concession is not the commission. My request is the concession is some extra cool bonus thing that you can give to them. Whatever that is. We'll practice a whole bunch of those in just a minute. And then the goal is, if reciprocity, if you'd be willing to do that, I'd be willing to do this. And then step five is close. So let's move forward. Shall we do the right thing and get you moved? Whatever. And what happens at the end of all this process? Well, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to say, great, give me your pen, let's do it. Or they're going to go, well, I still have this other issue. Or that issue wasn't fully handled yet. So what do? You either say, great, here's my pen. Or if they go, well, I have another issue, great, what's the other issue? And they say, well, not just the commission, but the listing price. So what do? You start again. Oh, great, the listing price. Yeah, that totally makes sense that you'd want a higher list price. Align. Step two, suggest. And what would happen if? Right? And do it again. Now, I may not use the same technique 2, 3, 4 times in a row. I might need, that's why I'm giving you a whole bunch of different techniques. The objection handling process goes like this. They give an, well, what starts this is you ask for a close. By the way, if you're not getting any objections, you're not asking for the close. You're not asking for the signature. You're getting objections, good for you. It means you've been saying, great, let's get started. Sign here. Right? You're getting objections. It's a great sign. So what happens? They say, well, we're not ready to sign yet because objections. And then here's the way it works. You say, great, thanks for bringing up that objection, and whatever, however we're going to solve it. And what would happen if we handled it this way? Because here's why this way is going to be really good for you. And if you'd be willing to do it this way, I'd be willing to do this extra special thing to make sure that you get as much money as possible. So do you want as much money as possible? Or do you want to like interview some other agents and waste some more time? Right, that's the problem. They go, well, okay, let's sign. Or I have another problem. Great, what's the problem? Right, and we just repeat this loop over and over until there's no more problems. So let me rip through this example, and then we'll create some more and whatever you want. So example says, hey, the other agent said they could get $650, but you're telling me only $599. You know, we want the $650. We're going to list with the other guy. So step one is align with them, agree with them, take their side. Yes, yes, I totally understand. You want to get as much money as possible for the house. That right there is a style of a level shift. Right? They said we want $650, and I'm saying yes. I understand you want as much money as possible. Notice, I'm agreeing with them. I'm getting them to agree with me without agreeing to $650. And this is what I want for you as well, as much money as possible. Now, step two is make a new suggestion in this example. And what would happen if you knew the other agent was inflating their price opinion in order to get your listing? Wow. Didn't think about that before. Step three is justify that suggestion. In this example, it says, because you and I just looked at the comparable sales, we found the highest one, sold at $300 a foot. And at 2,000 square feet, this means your house is worth up to $600,000. That's the highest one we could possibly find. The high water mark at 600. Step four, the law of reciprocity. If you'd be willing to list with me at the price that the market will support, I'll get the virtual tour complete and delivered to thousands of brokers before the weekend. Well, that sounds pretty good. Step five is close. Now, what kind of close is this? I'm curious. Do you want to hire a broker that tells you the truth or one that'll tell you what you want to hear in order to trick you into a contract? What kind of close? Right? Double bind. Do you want this one or that one? That's actually a lesser of two evils, right? Because one is negative. So look at how this flows. Yep, I totally understand the line. Two, and what would happen if you knew the other agent was doing this, trying to trick you to get your listing? Three, justify that. Because we just studied the comps. You just determined that it was 300 a foot at 2,000 feet. That's 600 grand. Reciprocity. If you be willing to list with me at this price, I'll give you this, 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 and that to help drive the sale. And the close. Do you want to do the right thing or do you want to gamble? Right? That process is insanely powerful. In fact, if you've ever been to some one of the live events when I'm doing a live thing and doing this from stage, I almost always use this technique. Why? It's easy to remember. It's quick. I'm dynamic. I can fill in the blanks easy. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm going to list with another agent. I totally get that you would consider using another agent. And right, so they're going to say, I'm going to use this. My friend is an agent. I'm going to list with my friend. My friend's an agent. So I'm going to say, great, I totally get that you'd want to use your friend, and I really appreciate your loyalty. I'm curious, what would happen if you mix business with pleasure and it ends up messing up your friendship? Because, this is the biggest financial move of your life. And, what if your friend doesn't feel comfortable telling you some hard truths? What if your friend has bias? They really don't want you to move. Right? Lots of these things could happen when somebody's got some personal bias in the transaction. The beauty of working with me is my one bias is to get you moved and get you as much money as possible. It's my only bias. So if you'd be willing to work with me, I'd be willing to assure that we get you moved on time, you get as much money as possible, whatever else I'm going to offer as a concession. Right? See, it doesn't matter what the objection is. You can just, it's just the structure. So my request is that you flush any scripts that you had and instead learn a structure like this, because there's nothing I have to remember. Just get an agreement, make a suggestion, justify that suggestion, reciprocity, and close. So here's what I remember. So I don't remember align, suggest, justify. I remember this. Yes, that totally makes sense to me. And what would happen if? Because here's why you should. And if you're willing to take my advice, I'd be willing to do this for you. Let's go ahead and sign the contract, shall we? That's it. All right. Questions, comments, examples, objections, anything. This is one of my favorite ones. Once you practice this for a week, literally, by the end of this week, of you doing your homework and writing these down and creating these, a little bit of practice, you'll get this rhythm down. My success ratio with this technique is something like 90% on the first round. It almost always works. 9 out of 10, first shot. Questions, comments, ahas, anything. Oh, my God, I'm lost. Wow, this is amazing.
Joel.
Yes.
This is Nicole. Would it be possible to, I'm actually going through something right now, would it be possible to role play that with me?
No, I'm sorry. We don't have time for that.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yes, of course. Please. What's your here's my role play request that you set up whatever it is that I need to know briefly.
Okay.
Like I'm the listing agent. Here's the price. Here's the thing. Just as quick as you can, set it up, and then you just be the client, and I'll do the best I can. And my request is that you put me on the spot as if it's live.
Okay. So I have two listings with the same seller, and one of them is listed for $354. It's been on the market for about 60 days, and the other one's been listed for the same amount of time for $400. And I'm requesting a price reduction, and he is wanting to sit down. He's basically telling me that to reduce it, he's going to have to bring more money because he bought when the market was at its bubble. So he has to bring $80,000 to close on just one property, and he wants me to reduce my commission.
Got it. And you, this is the same seller, both houses.
Right.
And he wants you, you want to reduce prices on both houses because neither one is selling in 60 days.
Right, and the showings have stalled.
Gotcha. And so his position is, if I have to, you know, look, I'm out of money, and I have
right.
to bring money to the table, therefore you should cut your commissions.
Right.
Fair enough. Okay, good. So, and how was that delivered? So you called him and said, hey, Mr. Seller, it's been 60 days. We have no offers. Showings have slowed way, way down.
Right.
Sadly, it's the market's telling us it's time to lower the price.
Right.
Okay, and then he said, give it to me live. So let me back up. I'll be you. So, hey, Mr. Seller, I'm sorry, Nicole, I really want to just give you an update. Both of these listings we put on the market the same day. They've been on the market 60 days. Sadly, neither one has received an offer, and I think that we've saturated this price point. We've gotten tons and tons and tons of showings, and yet all those showings have slowed way down to a halt. We still don't have an offer. It appears the market is telling us that it's now safe for us to reduce the price without leaving any margin on the table. So by how much should we reduce these to get them moved?
You know, I don't really think I want to do that. I know that we're going to have more buyers coming in March, and it's going to pick up a little bit. And for me to reduce the price, I'm already bringing $80,000 on this one property. And you know, this is a business for me, and you're a business
yep.
person. So yep, you
I
understand,
am.
You know, if I'm going to lose money and we're going to do this, then I want to do it together.
Is he off the role play for a sec? He's bringing cash in on one or on both properties?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So now just for fun, I'm going to go right into the technique. So, Nicole, I totally appreciate that. And I'm sorry that you're in this position. And what would happen if you had bought this property at a low, low, low point, and I was able to sell it for $100,000 above list? Would you give me a percentage of that $100,000 bonus, or would I just get a commission and you'd be happy?
I mean, I think we'd both be happy if that happened, because
sure.
you'd be getting paid for it right now. Neither one of
that's
us.
That's right. I'd be getting that's right. If I did that, you'd be really happy, and I'd get my commission would be larger because the sales price was higher. Totally agree.
Right.
So because this one happens to be going the other way, I am already taking a commission reduction because the house is not selling at the price that we thought it was going to sell. So I'm already in this with you. The question is, what are we going to do to get you out from under this house? So if you'd be willing, right, and now you have, are both these houses vacant?
They're rented
okay.
at a reduced
They're rented.
Price. Mm-hmm. They're at a reduced price so that they'll work with me to sell them.
Gotcha. So my step two is, you know, what would happen if it went the other way? Right? And it went up. Would you give me some of that margin? He's like, no, well, we'd both be happy. I'd be out. You'd get a bigger commission. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then to justify, because here's why that is. I'm already taking a price reduction. I'm already taking a commission reduction. Now here's the reciprocity. If you'd be willing to simply listen to the market and adjust your price accordingly, I'll help you get out of these properties with as little cash out of your pocket as possible. That's the goal. And who gets to decide, Nicole? Who gets to decide the actual sales price of this house? Is it me, is it you, or is it the buyers?
The buyers.
It's the buyers. Thank you for agreeing with that. So since the buyers get to decide, then only the buyers get to pick our sales price. Our only job is to reduce it. So should we reduce it a little bit at a time? Would it make sense, Nicole, if we reduced it like, I don't know, $5,000 every, you know, 2 or 3 weeks until it moves? Would that be a safe way to do it? Or should we chop off a little more and get them sold so you can get out of these things?
Mm-hmm. Possibly. Mm-hmm.
Right? So one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to go, oh, okay, I got it. Let's take a little bit off. No problem. Or
right.
Say, you know what, I totally get that, and I still want you to cut your commission. So if it doesn't work, what do? You do it again. Take another pass through. Try another technique. Take a level shift. Maybe move to a metaphor, which is the next technique that we're going to take on here in about 5 seconds. Right? So the way objection handling works is get an agreement. Yes, I totally appreciate that. Do whatever technique you're going to do. Maybe last week's response pattern, maybe this week's reciprocity response pattern, maybe a level shift, maybe some verbal pacing and leading, I don't know. Whatever. Whatever you're comfortable with, whatever feels organic and natural and conversational to you. And then at the end, say, you know, do you want to listen to the market and get these properties sold, or do you want to, I can take a point off the commission. It still doesn't sell the house. Right? That doesn't solve your problem. Your problem is you have houses you don't want. You're now over-encumbered in them. They're rented under value, so the tenants are cooperating. At some point, something needs to change. Either the tenants aren't cooperating, we'll have to kick them out, and then you'll lose even more money, or we've missed the mark on the price. Here's what our feedback cards have to say about that.
Okay.
So at the end of this, we're going to say, so, Mr. Seller, what are you going to do? Are you willing to listen to the market and reduce the price and get the house sold? Or, you know, do you want to try to, you know, shave some of the title and escrow costs off, too, of a house that still hasn't sold? That's a moot point until we get a buyer in contract. None of those things matter if we can't sell the house.
That is a really good point.
And so my goal is be in rapport, be patient, and that conversation, that objection might need 2 passes through, 3 passes through, I don't know.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep seeking to understand. So should we do it this way or should we do it that way? Well, but I still want you to cut your commission. Okay, try another technique. I totally get that you feel that way. And what about this? Right? Just circle back through a couple of times.
Okay. That sounds good.
Awesome. Go get them, Nicole.
Thanks.
Come back
Thank
next
you.
Week and tell us how it went. Yeah, you bet. All right. One more technique today. This one is a little more, takes a little more finesse to deliver, and this one is likely the most powerful one of the course, maybe not including what we're doing next week. By the way, next week there's no handout, no workbook, right? We're off the reservation. What we're going to do next week, we're going to create in real time. There's no workbook. So this next technique now, our last one for today, is called, here's the real name, it's called, has there ever been a time when? that's just the setup to help you remember, has there ever been a time when? Truly what this is a metaphor. So let this sink in for a moment. Human beings, people, us, all of us, again, all born with this thing called an ego, and our ego does not like to be wrong. It just doesn't. We like to look good. We like to be right. We like to be authenticated. We like to be validated. We don't like to be wrong. This is extra challenging when other people know you're wrong, right? To be wrong and be visible. It's also really tough when not only are you wrong and visible, you're wrong and visible on the same thing more than one time. Now you're just the same mistake you made yesterday. What are you doing? So that's a horrible position for the ego to be in. And so what we're going to do by using this technique is we're going to generate a metaphor that's going to tap into the client's previous mistake, their previous misgiving. And from that previous mistake, we're going to say, well, this is kind of like this other mistake. You don't want to do that again, do you? And they're, no, I'm not going to repeat that mistake. How do we do that? Well, we do that by using an analogy or a metaphor where this thing is like that other thing. So let me show you how that works. The key to this, there's a finesse point. The key to this is we're going to generate something similar. The key is the something similar must be completely universal. So universal that every human being must say, yeah, that's true for me. You have to get agreement, otherwise it doesn't work. So here's how this works. The client says whatever they say. And then you repeat and approve their question, their objection, and then we're literally going to ask this question. I'm curious. Has there ever been a time when? And then you're going to describe a similar experience that was very universal. And then before they get to answer, you're going to say, has that ever happened to you? Then wait for a response. And they go, yeah. You set this up right. Their only option is to say, well, yeah, of course that's happened to me. It's happened to everybody. Then we say, well, this time it's just like that time. May I explain? And they go, yeah, go ahead. And you say, well, here's how those things are the same. Then you explain those similarities using any of the tools or techniques that you have learned the truth about sales. Use verbal pacing and leading. Use presuppositions, cause and effect, whatever you've learned so far to explain how this thing is the same as that thing. Let me give you an example. The first example in here is for sale by owner. Somebody says, you know, I really appreciate you coming out and blah, 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 and I think we're just going to do it ourselves, save the money. I can take on a project. I'm retired. I can do it. I'm just going to do it myself. Great. So step one, always, always, always agree with them. Yes. Yes, I'm sure you probably could sell it yourself, and it could save you some money. Of course it could. Now, what other realtor is going to say that? What other salesperson is going to say, sure, of course you. Everybody else is going to go, oh, God, that's a huge mistake. Oh, do you really? Right? And you're just setting up an argument. We're going to rise above the argument and say, yes, of course you could. Of course you can. And I'm curious, has there ever been a time when you took on a project and then later realized that you were in over your head? Has that ever happened to you? Now, can any of you say no to that? If you can say no to that, please speak up now. Has there ever been a time when you took on a project, later realized you were in over your head? Has that ever happened to you? Or have you ever taken on a project and later wished, damn, I should have hired a professional in the beginning? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, that's happened to me. So what do? We just generated an analogy and an agreement about that analogy. Has that ever happened? Yes, I've experienced that before. Well, this time it's just like that time. May I explain? Yes, go ahead. So that's it. That's the whole technique. Now we can talk a little bit about, you know, how I'm going to explain that this thing is just like that thing That's just the semantics. In this example, that one says, well, there's currently 7,000 homes on the market, less than 900 will sell, another 1,200 will get listed. This means less than 15% of the homes on the market are going to sell. 15%. Over the last 12 months, 95% of my listings have sold. So if you're committed to move, you want the most money possible, then let's sign the contract, put my team to work. So how did that flow? Start with agreement. Yes, I totally get it, and I'm curious. Has there ever been a time when? Yeah, that's happened to me. Great. Let me tell you this, just like this. Let me show you how these are the same. So what about Nicole's thing just a minute ago? Yeah, but we want you to cut your commission. Yes, I totally get that you want to cut the commission and that you think that's going to save you some money, I'm sure. And I'm curious, has there ever been a time when you tried to save a little money and it cost you more in the long run? Has that ever happened to you? Well, yeah, that's happened to me. Well, I'm afraid to tell you, but this time it's just like that time. May I explain? And they go, yeah, go ahead. Well, the commission is used as bait, and half the commission I'm using as bait to attract in the other buyer's agents. The other half of the commission that I'm going to keep is paying for our marketing and our exposure and our webmaster and our email campaigns and all the things that I'm doing to get those people to come see the house. So if we short the commission, then either I have less bait to bring in buyer's agents or I have less money to do marketing for your home. So we're going to have to chop off one of those. Either one of those are going to lower the amount of buyers that come, and the fewer buyers that come, the lower the price is going to be, right? Doesn't it make sense that the more buyers that come, the higher we'll be able to drive the price? That's what we want, right? Yeah, that's what I want. Great. And at this stage, the one way to bring more buyers is lower the price. So should we lower it by $5,000 or by $10,000? So this technique is find a universal experience, a universal project, problem, and say, wow, this is just like this problem. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, that's happened to me. All right, let me rip through this example, then we'll play some more. Recruit example. I can't get into real estate. Are you kidding me? I need a job. I need a paycheck. I'm a single parent. I need my regular paycheck. I can't live on commission. I want to agree with them. Start by saying, yeah, I know, a regular paycheck really feels safe and secure. It feels that way for sure. I'm curious, has there ever been a time when you thought you were safe and then had your safety net removed by surprise? Has that ever happened to you? Anybody who's living paycheck to paycheck is going to go, yeah, I've had that happen many times. Right? You think you're doing great and you get a medical bill. You think you're doing great and the car breaks down. You thought you were safe and you get a surprise. Has that ever happened? Yeah. Notice everybody says yes to this question. That's the key. Now, here's the follow-up. So this thing is just like that thing. Can I explain? Yeah, go ahead. And then explain however you explain. Here, this example, the W-2 job feels secure because the paychecks land consistently every 2 weeks. Yet as long as you're working for somebody else, you're subject to their whims and their influence. You're subject to layoffs. You're subject to all these things that are outside your control. No matter how much you contribute to the company, your paychecks are just enough to hopefully cover the bills. So what just happened? Well, by using this technique, I just changed their definition of security. Their definition of security was, I have a secure paycheck. Now I just shattered that. So would you like to be your own boss? Well, yeah, that sounds good. Would you like to be the one in charge of how much money you make? That sounds amazing. So what do you need to do to change your schedule around such that you can attend our new agent training class? How are you going to manage that? Notice I didn't say, will you come? What do you need to do to your schedule such that you may attend? What kind of question is that? Right? It's a presumptive, open-ended question. All right, questions, comments, examples. There's one more example on the handout. Questions, comments, examples, role plays, objections, anything. Nothing? Really? You guys are supposed to bring your tough objections to the call today. So what objections are challenging for you? Which objections are tricky for you? Here's the real question. Which objection is stopping you? And it might be physically stopping you, like, God, I keep going to these listing presentations, and I keep getting, well, we're just going to wait. We're going to think about it. We're not ready yet. I keep getting the same one over and over. That one's actually stopping you. Or it could be that you're so afraid of handling, will you cut your commission, that you're not driving the sale forward. So it's either stopping you because you're afraid it's going to stop you, or it's actually stopping you. In either case, let's kill it right now.
Joel?
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
Joel, it's Debbie.
Okay, I heard I heard the young lady first.
Thank you.
Yep.
So the most challenging one for me is I'm not planning to sign anything today. I need to sleep on it. I'll get back to you. You did a great presentation. You're super professional, but we're absolutely not going to sign anything today.
Okay. I don't know what technique. I'm just going to kind of say what I say. I totally appreciate that you want to sleep on it. And it sounds to me like you want to be 100% sure that you're making the best decision for you. Is that close?
Yes.
Great. So is there anything at all that you feel uncomfortable with about working with me? Anything we left out? Anything about price, anything about marketing, anything at all that has you feel not 100% comfortable?
No, you did a good job. I just really want to think about it.
Okay. And when I hear people say that, usually there's something in particular that they want to think about. So would you share that with me? What specifically do you plan to be thinking about? I mean, really, there's only three things that you have to think about. One is, are you going to move? You've already answered that question, right? You're committed to moving.
Right.
The other one is, at what price are you going to list the home? And by going through these numbers, you pretty much came to the conclusion that $599 is the right space for your home. Do you still feel comfortable with that number?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Okay, good. Let's come back to that one. And then thing number three for you to decide is, who are you going to choose to represent you?
Right.
Right. So those are the three things for you to decide. Are you moving? At what price? And who are you going to hire to represent you? So how confident do you feel? We'll come back to price in a moment. How confident do you feel about having me represent you in this transaction? Do you feel great about that or so-so about that?
It's between you and one or two others.
Great. So let's revisit. So what is it about? So we have two things. So everybody, we have two issues here. One, we're not clear on the price. And one, there's maybe some other agents that she's considering. Great. So we're going to do those one at a time. So would you share with me, what is it about the other two agents that how will you decide between me and the other two agents? How are you going to make that decision?
You know, my husband and I are going to talk about it tonight. And, we already decided we're definitely not going to sign anything tonight. And then we'll
sure.
get back to you by the end of the week. We'll have a decision by the end of the week.
Okay. And I remain curious. How are you going to choose? I mean, the other two agents, I assume you met with them already, yes?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so you've met with all of us. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to, and the other two must be good because you're still considering them.
Yeah.
So how are you going to decide between the three?
We're just, my husband and I will discuss it, discuss what you said, what they said, and decide who we want to go with.
Great. Did the other agents give you a different, did they recommend different prices? Because we came up with $599. What prices are the other agents recommending?
They all had different proposals and different, they were offering different things. So, you know, but for sure, we liked what you had to say, and we'll definitely, you know, I'm not going to make a decision without discussing it with my husband first.
Well, your husband's sitting right here, and you've
right.
already met all three agents. You've already heard all three proposals. I'm still curious, would you share with me what price the other agents recommended? One of the things that I find frequently is there's a lot of agents that will tell people what they want to hear in order to get the listing. And a lot of people list their homes at prices that are so optimistic, but the agent got the listing. And then they beat you up on the price for 6 months trying to get the price down at a realm that it will sell. So did they recommend a price higher than $599?
Well, no, we've been looking at the market, and we really know the prices around here. So I know what price is going to make our house sell. I mean, we've been
great.
Doing
and
a lot of research.
Great. And what price do you think that is?
Yeah, somewhere around the price you said.
Okay. So then you're comfortable with five. So all right, I'm going to interrupt the role play here. So I can tell that she's making this up because I have no consistency. I said, was it price? And she's like, yeah, it's the price. And when I pushed her on the price, she said, well, we know the price. We know the neighborhood. $599 is really the price. So my gut check on this role play is that I took it further than you have taken it because you're kind of grappling for answers. So my other gut check on this is just by your tone and your, my gut is that I feel like we didn't do a very good job of getting in rapport, or maybe you didn't with the client. Because the way in which, we're just going to think I'm getting a lot of evasive behavior. So either... my guess is that there was some rapport missing. Something was missing because the client's not engaging. The client's, we're going to think about it. Well, we're going to pray on it. Well, we're going to... This is all really evasive sounding. And as I pushed for clarity, I got conflicting answers. So something's going on here. My guess is that there was lacking rapport somewhere in the process, or maybe you didn't ask these questions, maybe you didn't get as far as I did, I don't know. Was any of that helpful for you at all?
The last part, I find that they're really evasive and trying to back out and not give me direct answers. That they're
my gut is if they're being that evasive, then your job is to work on rapport. Evasiveness is a sign of out of rapport. We do an awesome job of being in rapport, then they'll just say, hey, the other agent told us $650 and you're telling us $599, so we need to think about this. Right now I know what's really going on. When I'm in rapport, they'll say, you know, the other agent said they do it for 4%. You're telling us 6%. So this is where I'm stuck. So when you're in rapport, they'll tell you, here's what's going on for me. Or they'll tell, you know, we have this family policy that we always hold hands and pray and we don't make decisions for 24 hours. Great. Whatever it is, they'll be straight with you when you do a good job of getting in rapport.
they always say, well, you did an amazing job and, you know, you're so professional.
That's evasive. That's evasive. You know what? You're great. It's not you. It's me. You're the best girlfriend I've ever had. And it's not you. You're amazing. And I'm out of here. Right? Those are excuses. Those are smoke screens.
Okay.
Yeah, you're missing. You're trying to objection handle something that isn't the problem. The problem is there was rapport missing earlier. All right, I know that we're at the top of the hour. If you need to bug out, then bug out. And there was a gentleman that had a question about 3 or 4 minutes ago. Happy to stay and answer it if whoever that is still here. Nope. Question, comment, whoever that gentleman was? All right, then. We're at the top of the hour, and I'm going to turn you all loose. So thank you for being here. Our last call is next week. And as usual, I've saved the best for last. So tune in next week. Remember, no workbook for next week. We're going to just do it all from scratch. And that's it. So you guys have an awesome week. I'll talk to you all next time, and go make a difference in the world. See you later, everybody.